This is the Dave and Checky Show. We got this groovy podcast for ya. Reviewing crazy tunes, we're quoting Twain and Sting and Dune. We'll bring ideas to share, like bonus points for extra flair, cause it's the freaking Dave and Checky Show. Show, we're bringing you this groovy review. We might preview movies, bake some bread, or drink some smoothies. So come on, have way too much caffeine. You roll up some reefers, I'll reference some Raffy. This is the Dave and Checky Show.
I got the tunnels. I think I can do it.
The tunnels are no joke.
I don't think I can make it. This podcast is going to be rough with the tunnels.
Don't fuck around with the tunnels. Hey, everybody, it's us. It's time for your favorite podcast, the Middle-Aged Cool Kids Super Terrific Podcast, featuring your pals,
Ivan and Lenny.
I'm Ivan.
And I'm Lenny.
All right. Of course, it's Dave and Shecky, and I'm Shecky.
I'm Dave.
Dry mouth Dave over there to my right.
Not dry.
Dave. I asked you specifically to take a sip.
I don't want
to
take a sip.
Take a sip, for fuck's sake. Take a goddamn sip. Dear Lord.
All you people on the left want me to take a sip. I'm not taking a sip.
I'm on the left physically only.
Keep pushing it. I'll take a sip, all right.
Are you talking to me?
I'll take a sip of dark coffee. You know what kind of coffee I'm talking about. Black coffee. I'll take a sip of black coffee if you're not careful.
I'm not sure why that should be outrageous to
anyone. I don't know. You can say that. I'm allowed to say that. I'm a white guy. I'm allowed to drink black coffee?
Perhaps.
For how long?
Not much longer.
You're telling me.
Culturally appropriated coffee. All right.
I'm just saying. Can I be robbed by a white person for once? Is it possible? Is that racist?
I mean, look.
How many times?
In the middle of America, apparently, as I told you, I play Terra Online. It's an online game, and I've joined a guild. Finally, a guild would have me. I've joined a guild, and one of the guild members was robbed recently by a white guy who was also an addict.
So, what?
An addict.
A wigger, you say?
I said he's an addict.
Oh, an addict. He was probably a wigger.
I don't know about that. But he was, I think he said a meth addict or something, so.
Oh, it doesn't make him a bad person.
No, but it did make him a robber, a white robber. So there you go.
A robber. Okay, well, there you go. See? I guess if I was in the Midwest, I'd be robbing more white people.
You would.
I'm a victim of circumstance.
You certainly are. Anyway, speaking of victims, this episode... Well, let's go from the top. The other day, Kid Dave comes running into me.
Wait, let me go from the top.
No, okay, go ahead.
Whoa, harsh out, bro. Go ahead, go from the
top. Oh, that was your top?
Oh, no, here. Well, let me just tell you one thing.
Okay, but you're going to make it so somehow you're not the problem.
I'm not the bad guy. Because
see,
this is
exactly.
Crazy. Years ago, for years now,
okay,
I've been driving in my car occasionally.
Right.
And occasionally a song will come on that has a groove that will groove an opening that catches my attention.
Yes.
Because I'm like, oh, this is actually not bad music to start.
Okay.
It's almost like, sounds to me like a session musician got a record deal.
Oh, okay.
And then these insane lyrics kick in.
Yes.
And I said to myself, geez, I don't even remember this song, and I certainly never thought about these lyrics, but these lyrics are totally inappropriate, and I can't imagine what this song is.
Okay.
For years. And then the other day, I was sleeping.
Wait a second.
And I woke up, and I had this amazing song
Danny
in my head.
Danny Bonaducci.
And then next door, my brother Keith...
No.
Was masturbating.
Okay.
And I was like, what the hell is this tune?
Okay.
And what's that new key you just wrote?
All right. Everyone stopped.
No, that's not how it goes.
No.
I had braces. I was picking up these goddamn radio frequencies in my nose after I got hit by a ball.
Okay.
I was to be or not to be. That is the question that I ask of thee.
Okay.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Let's stop talking about that for just a moment.
I had some stream of consciousness right there. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Seahorses. So anywho, the other day, Dave comes running up to me and he's like, watch. Let me play this song for you. And so he starts playing Benny Mardonis's Into the Night. And if you're a fan of the 80s, you know the first line is, she's only 16.
Leave her alone. Leave her alone, they say.
She's just 16.
So I start watching the video. I mean, I know the song. I start watching the video, and that's when I get really disgusted. Because in the video, Benny Mardonis must be at least 30, right?
I think he's 35.
In the video?
I think so.
Okay. There you go. At least 30, maybe even 35. And he is the young girl in the video. She may be 16, but they have dressed her up to look about 12 or 13. She's got a total 6th grade, 7th grade bedroom. She's not dressed like a whorish 16-year-old. She's dressed like, you know, a regular kid. It's fairly disgusting. It's the song lyrics are, of course, suggestive. Her parents don't understand their love, and he looks like a total stalker. Throughout the video, there's very little contact, but at the very end, he swoops into her bedroom with a magic carpet, and she gets on, and really, they should have just ended the video there, but no. Then there's a makeout session. So
they should have ended the video before they made it.
They should have never made the video. So I am appalled. I'm watching
the
video.
Lyrics? Who would even write the song?
Mouth agape, jaw on floor. It's fucking pedophilia. And I just look at Dave and I'm like, oh my God, Dave, this is our next show. This is what we are going to do. Inappropriate pedo type songs. This is great. Thanks for bringing this to me.
All right.
So
you're welcome.
I come running into the room here at the desk, and I start putting together a list. I start searching and watching songs, and I'm feeling very good about this episode. So then this morning, as we're getting ready for the episode, Dave just clicks on his phone, and he's been listening to...
What? What am I listening for? I don't know.
The Bonfire.
Oh,
with Dan Soder and Big J Okerson. And I'm putting dishes away. I'm doing something. And all of a sudden, they start talking about Benny Mardonis and Into the Night. And I'm like, motherfucker, Dave had a Danny Bonaduce moment. This wasn't an original thought where he's like, look, I've just been thinking about this song. Let's
This song has been on the back burner in my head for years.
Right.
It was finally solved, but I didn't even realize that they solved it because I listened with it in the background, kind of like half listening.
Yes. And it creeped into your mind. And so now we had all the show prep, and now it seems like we're biting off
but
of
Dan.
But
no one watches that show. It's a small audience. There's not going to cross over there.
Let me tell you something. Big J. Okerson and Dan Soder are really the only thing left worth listening to over on Sirius XM. So my apologies. It was not my intent.
We're going beyond that. We're allowed to cross-reference different stuff.
Besides, entirely true, but I just wanted to put it out there.
Look, the only reason I have this in my head is because I'm or in the Syracuse area or had been.
Quite a bit.
And he's a local favorite.
He is a local favorite despite
his... Because they're depraved
his,
and idiotic in Syracuse.
They are a little crazy there, apparently.
No, the bad weather.
A lot of
cloudiness.
Benny Mardonis, Into the Night, is the first one we wanted to talk about because it's the one that started this our conversation. and my search for inappropriate songs. Now, there are a lot of inappropriate songs by bands that you there are bands out there that only want to do inappropriate songs, like say Cannibal Corpse or Barney Rubble Cunt Stubble. You know, there's like bands out there who that's what they want to do.
That's all tongue in cheek.
Whether it is or not, they are trying to shock you with their songs. So we're not including those in the in our playlist today because that's what they're doing it on purpose. I know this is what this Dave's tongue in cheek thing. He is putting that out there to because he's going to defend some of the songs we have coming up because he was defending them yesterday while I was playing them.
Well, I'm just defending tongue in cheek.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What tongue, what cheek? You tell me. Boom. Boom. What else you got?
Okay. Now this song. Christine 16. This song was a big hit for Kiss. I remember it was on my KTEL record. My 1977 best songs of the 70s or 77 KTEL. Something I really loved was those KTEL records. But this was on it. Christine 16. And I was 10 at the time, so I didn't really understand how absolutely inappropriate this song was. Gene Simmons in 1977. I believe was at least 32. At least 32. I believe Gene Simmons was born in 1945.
Yeah, but he wrote the song in 1964.
No, he did not, actually. Actually, sure? he did not. I believe that if we listened to, I think, all of that Paul Stanley stuff, right? And I believe he said he came up with the Christine 16. And then Gene came up with everything else. So Paul Stanley might have meant it as a, you know, I don't know. He was also very young. I think he's born in 1950. So I feel like this is on Gene. This is on squarely on Gene. To be 30 and or 30 plus and singing about waiting for a 16-year-old girl to come out of the schoolyard. I don't usually say things like this to girls or anything. But when I saw you coming out of school that day, that day I knew I've got to have you. Gross. Inappropriate. I'm kind of glad and kind of annoyed that there's no actual music video for this because it was pre-MTV. But my guess is that it would be wholly inappropriate.
Well, I think it would be on purpose. I don't think Gene Simmons is a pedophile. He just likes to write about crazy topics. That, and he also loved groupies. Now, also look at the climate that you're in the 1970s there. These guys are rock people. They have groupies everywhere. It's probably considered acceptable.
Yeah. This reminds me of a situation I was in with the documentary I did where I was told by someone that there was inappropriate behavior and I kind of lost my vim and vigor for the project.
That sounds racist.
Vim and vigor is not racist. Thank you.
Oil and vinegar is not racist either.
That's
unless you stutter.
All right. Anyway, Christine 16, I can't believe you were about to.
I have no. I don't defend the song, but I have no problem with people writing about whatever they want to write about.
Right. It's a free speech thing. Yes, I understand it completely. However, it doesn't mean you can use your free speech inappropriately.
I like the movie Dazed and Confused. I don't, you know, idolize Matthew McConaughey's character.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you don't.
But, you know, I appreciate that the character was in the movie. I don't think it would be a better movie without him.
I feel like the whole pedophilia thing is just starting to come to light right now.
I don't think Tommy's better without Uncle Ernie or Cousin Kevin. The movie doesn't even it doesn't even exist without those characters.
What if those guys were not deviant sexually and were just weird in another way? What if they were serial killers?
Well, then that would be part of the show, too. That would be more like Dexter or, you know, Clockwork Orange.
I'm just saying that the whole pedophilia thing is a little weird and a little everywhere.
I hear that. It's bad. But, you know, you got to admit, the movie Lolita is amazing. Fucking Peter Sellers is brilliant in that movie. I mean, he's absolutely brilliant.
It's also disturbing. The book is very disturbing. I mean,
well, then let's get rid of the police. Let's get rid of Sting. Boom. Let's get rid of Gordon Summers, that handsome young English teacher.
All right. I mean, if you're fans of Game of Thrones, the show.
I am not.
And you've never read the books.
Tits and Dragons?
It's a whole bunch of underage sex, a whole bunch of some sort of not only pedophilia, but then there's also some sort of ancestral relationships. When HBO said that they were bringing it to the screen, I was shocked because honestly, I read the first book and then I said I can't read any more of these books. Even the ending scene of the book was just so weirdly sexual and involving, you know, like a 12 or 13 year old girl.
Yeah, what's that guy's name who wrote him?
George R.R. Martin.
Yeah, I'm hoping I should be in jail.
Well, I mean,
I bet you found some shit under his porch that resembles Ben Franklin.
Well, we don't.
I'm just saying, I think he's has some children buried under his house.
Anyway, the next song that we have on our inappropriately pedophilia type song list is
Oingo Boingo?
Oingo Boingo, Little Girls.
That doesn't sound like the Simpsons music.
So, this video, the title, of course, is clearly an issue. The video is of, it looks like adult women, teenage women, but dressed, I mean, and they might even be in the band, I don't fucking know. Dressed as
cue the midgets.
Little girls. I don't know if one of those is Peter Dinklage.
Cue the midgets. Zappa was right.
I don't know what that means.
He said you can't make it in MTV unless you have midgets.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Or was that David Lee Roth?
Well, David Lee Roth
Zappa
had
said it.
Them.
David Lee Roth did it. No, that was midget security guards.
Yes.
Which is absolutely brilliant.
I guess it is. Why was it brilliant?
I don't know. It's just so absurd that it's fucking hysterical.
Anyway, Oingo Boingo is Danny Elfman. Darling of Hollywood now, right? As far as scores and soundtracks and all of that stuff.
I don't follow his career, but I know he did The Simpsons and a couple other things.
So, I mean, I guess my feeling is, if you put out a song about underage girls.
What's the song about? I don't even know what it's about. I never heard this before in my life.
Well, because we're not listening to, we don't listen to Oingo Boingo.
Oh, I never listened to Oingo Boingo, but I mean, what's the song?
I love little girls, they make me feel so good. I love little girls, they make me feel so bad.
So, I mean, you know, I just feel like if somebody's writing a song about his love of little girls, then there might be a problem there. Look, what? you can talk about Jimmy Page and, you know, holding a 14-year-old hostage in his hotel room, and that's one thing. But when you also have a song that just is about children, I feel like that's a real problem. That's even worse to me.
Cocaine messed everyone up.
Cocaine doesn't make you a pedophilia.
No,
a pedophile.
But it, you do enough of it, and everyone around you is doing it back in the 70s and 80s, before you know it, you're going to write a song called Little Girls and look like a fucking weirdo. And the same thing with Benny Mardonis. The man was a cocaine addict. He lost his mind. He had no moral compass because he was brain dead in his own little isolated world. Then you think it's okay to write a song, she's only 16, leave her alone, they say.
Because
he thinks he's right and everyone else is wrong. That's why he's in denial. He's absolutely in denial about everything. That's him. Fucking, it's not just a casual or user of cocaine who does a little bit here and there to keep going. This is someone who's a fucking fiend who owes everyone in town. He builds up such a debt that he leaves town and moves to Syracuse. And dries out. That's what happened to him. That's what he is. But he's in this state of mind to start with. No sober person would think, oh, I should write this song and put this out. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, what about the Oingo Boingo?
I guarantee you that look at him. I mean, that is a cocaine addict. This is all fused with payola and cocaine.
So you are, see, I've never done cocaine, so I don't know, so it's just something that happens to men?
I'm not saying it happens always.
What is it,
freeing?
Is it like a take a filter away?
This is like record companies, you know, advancing you cocaine.
This Oingo Boingo little girls video is, he looks like a fucking fiend.
Yeah, I mean, he thinks it's funny. He's supposed to, but it's just...
How do you know he thinks it's funny? How do you know he's just not a fucking fiend?
If he doesn't think it's funny, he would have never gotten the gig with The Simpsons. Or...
Not true.
Or he's so insane that people think he's joking.
That might be it.
Normal people have to think he's joking. Otherwise, you would... Look, normal people think that Marilyn Manson is joking. If they don't, they're not normal. You're not rational if you actually believe Marilyn Manson. But Marilyn Manson might be a complete weirdo underneath it all. And let me tell you, Marilyn Manson, another complete cocaine fiend. Not just your average, ordinary, working class guy who has cocaine. This is Hollywood party, binge, lunatic, child pedophilia cocaine.
So you think that there's regular cocaine and then there's fiend, pedophilia fiendish levels of
it's
cocaine.
It's not, no, yeah, it's when you're in, or so when you're surrounded in an environment that condones insanity constantly, then your boundaries are pushed. There's nothing grounding you, nothing holds you back. Before you know it, this is acceptable. Marilyn Manson is a shock rocker, essentially. But if he were really a shock rocker, he would be like Frank Zappa, and he would be completely sober and rational. But he's not. He's a lunatic. He's known for his binging.
I see.
He's not just kidding.
Right. Or
Gene
he's
Simmons,
become a parody
Gene
of himself.
Gene Simmons absolutely 100% kidding. I never realized this as a kid. That's why I didn't like him, because I took it seriously. He's 100% kidding.
Well, I'm the one
Dr.
who told
Dre,
you that.
Not kidding. Dr. Dre and the Chronic, 100% serious.
Yes.
You thought they were kidding, like Kiss.
I did think Dr. Dre was kidding.
They're
I thought
not,
the Chronic was a comedy
not kidding.
Album.
That's why he throws around a female reporter and beats the shit out of her.
I had no idea
He's
about
that.
He's
not kidding.
Yes. Terrible.
Well, it is what it is. He's not kidding.
He is not kidding.
Ice Cube's kind of kidding. But I love Ice Cube.
I feel like Danny Elfman, I don't think he's kidding.
I don't think he's kidding. I think he's a lunatic.
I think he's out of his fucking mind. And I think that maybe his sister turned to Scientology because, he was not very good to her when she was little. I don't know. That's all speculation, of course. But Jenna Elfman, I believe, is his sister. His blood sister.
Oingo Boingo.
What a weirdo.
Oingo Boingo.
Yeah. No good. And again, if you want to see the video, go right ahead. He's a fucking fiend. And at one point, you know, it's just he's just got girls touching him. It's just it's too much. Too much. Now, here's an old school one.
Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl, you're much too young, girl. With all the charms of a woman.
Okay, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, Young Girl.
Nice hair and outfit, weirdo.
I mean, that's... We're not here to discuss the outfits, but...
A little powder on the face, you sweaty beast.
Look, he's singing a pedophilia song.
Well, maybe if he wasn't wearing a fucking winter jacket with a turtleneck, he wouldn't be sweating so much.
Well,
yeah,
look,
put the drummer in the same outfit.
He is from Hibbing, Minnesota.
Oh,
though
God.
He grew
There's
up in
like, you know,
Yakima, Washington.
We've got to go with that whole Sgt. Pepper's look on this thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's the whole Sgt. Pepper's look. So, I mean...
What's this song about?
Young girl, get out of my mind. I mean, and he does not look particularly young there. His haircut is a little Bob McAllister, but he does not look particularly young. So I'm going to say he's also about 30, singing about a young girl.
Oh, how old? How young?
Well, what do you think is young?
I don't know.
When someone says that's a young girl over there, I think not 18. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that would be definitely open to interpretation.
Oh, is that what you think?
I don't know. I mean, what? I don't know the lyrics to the song.
With all the charm. The secret of your youth. You led me to believe you're old enough to give me love. And now it hurts to know the truth. Oh, young girl.
So basically what he's saying in this song,
he's all Rex Smith'd up.
You have all the charms of a woman, but he's victim blaming here.
No, he says, you lied to me, and now I can't have sex with you anymore because now I know you're not old enough.
So now he's...
And I can't get you out of my mind because he tasted the forbidden fruit because the goddamn fruit dangled off the tree into his mouth.
Okay, this is the problem here. He is victim blaming.
Look, who's ever... Growing that tree with that fruit on it needs to put some fucking trellises on that fruit so it don't fall off.
All right.
Or put a fence around the fruit so that fucking weird predator don't get a hold of it.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Look, I'm not, you know, this guy's a rock musician.
Gary Puckett.
He's got, you know, women throwing themselves left and right at him. Before you know it, some fucking hotsy-totsy dressed chick comes at him and she's only 15.
Why don't you just say, how old are you, honey?
And she says, I'm 20. And he says, really? You don't look 20. And she says, do these look 20? And he says, no, they look about 36 double D. Baza boom ba.
So you're saying Gary Puckett is a stand-up comedian from the Catskills?
I'm just saying, I think his real name was Gary Fuckett, if it has a high voice.
I don't know what you're saying anymore, but this just seems to be a song where...
Gary Puckett and the Union Gap? What kind of gap are we talking about here?
It's a Union Gap.
I think it's a gap in a young girl.
All right.
Union Gap.
No, the Union Gap is a...
That sounds Japanese.
The Union Gap was
Yo-Yo Gak.
No. Union Gap is a city in Washington. So there you go.
Whoa. He's so unhip. Let me tell you something.
Or maybe Idaho. I'm not sure. over
I
there
I think
somewhere.
This man had an unfortunate situation, and I don't know why he felt the need to put it in the lyrics.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He's like, this seems like it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It
oh, this
seems
happened.
Awfully this autobiographical.
Is, here's the theme of, here's the universal theme of writing songs about inappropriate young girls.
Yes.
You have to have a major key and be really have really pleasant background vocals.
To make it less horrifying?
I don't know. I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not. Some people, I think, are doing it to enhance the irony of the lyrics. Other people, I think,
are trying
are psychotic.
To. I think they're trying to mask the horrificness.
I mean,
of
this
it.
Song is just perplexing.
He's victim blaming.
Why would you even write this song? What is this? Who's going to relate to this song?
Apparently, a ton of people. It was a major hit for him. This has almost 9 million views.
This is like, yeah, I can relate to that. That young girl kind of. She lied to me.
That bitch.
God damn it.
That 15-year-old bitch.
This is a Roy Moore theme song.
All right. I don't know about that.
That's, Roy Moore or less.
That is questionable. Anyway, so Gary Puckett in the Union Gap, young girl.
I'm more into Gary U.S. Bonds.
All right. Well, we're not talking about him today.
Well, when we do, when wake we do, me up before you go.
I will let you know as soon as we do.
All right.
Next.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm hip. I'll buy that, baby. Whose baby is that?
Fine little girls with fat and
now we are fucking rocking. The best salmon farmer ever to play a flute. Saw this band in 1981 at fucking Madison Square Garden, all right?
And did you
my
sing
parents
along?
My parents dropped me off and picked me up afterwards. Right before I got out of the car, my mom said, now use your sense. And I did, because I had two joints of sense. I had sense in me back when it was called sense in me. And I looked at my friend and said, we're going to use our sense.
All right. I'm sure you guys thought that was hysterical. Was that Coleman?
No. Oh. I'm a Jewish friend, Pete.
Pete?
We got high like a motherfucker. And I saw a drum solo that kicked ass.
All right. So
I saw Mark Craney, and I didn't even realize I saw Mark Craney. And if you don't know who Mark Craney is, fuck you.
Okay, I don't know who he is, so fuck
well, not
me.
You. I'm never talking to you about it. You're an exception to all the
all
bad
the rules.
Stuff.
All right. Well, this is the thing. Jethro Tull, this was the thing yesterday. You were saying, well, this is a character. Aqualung is a character.
Yeah, he's writing about a very loathsome character, a street heathen.
A street heathen who likes to watch frilly panties.
Yes, he's a bad man. Drop the mic on that one.
Can you pick that up for her, please? Put it behind you, not in front.
Yeah, see, this is in a whole... This is in a whole nother character. A whole nother grouping than these other songs we've heard. This one now is different.
Because it's a character.
This is like he's writing about basically Freddy Krueger. It's that kind of vibe.
So it's like a Captain Howdy.
A what?
Captain Howdy by Twisted Sister.
Very possibly. I know that... what's his name? D. Snyder. That man is intelligent. He's not. He is completely kidding. Now, that is a man who was tongue-in-cheek. He's kidding unless you approach him on stage, and then he will beat the shit out of you. When he wears a dress, he's not gay. He's
no.
not transsexual. That is a shock thing.
It's a gimmick.
Yeah. He is kidding.
Right. But Captain Howdy is a character in one of the songs. So
you know who's not kidding?
Okay.
Rob Halford.
Rob Halford.
He has a song called Fire Island.
Well,
okay?
It is a gay man.
Well,
so.
That song is indicating that. Now, how do you, as a kid in the 70s who pretends to be, you know, like, how are you an alpha straight male? And then how do you just, like, totally rock out to Rob Halford? Do you not spend any time looking at the inside of the album and the lyrics? Because that's all I did. All I did was look at the lyrics. And if I saw a song called Fire Island, I think I questioned why I liked the band.
Yeah, but you also have to understand, you grew up in New York, New Jersey, where you know what Fire Island is.
Well,
I'm not sure that anybody in, Idaho is going to put two and two together there.
He is the hoe, and he's the tongue-in-cheek in Fire Island. Boom. I'm just saying that, you know, certain guys are...
What does it say? What are the words to Fire Island? Does it say this is where all the gay guys hang out?
Yeah, it's
it does?
Ridiculous.
Oh.
If you look at those lyrics, they're just embarrassing.
Is it as embarrassing as Rough Boys, la 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 la?
Yeah, it's more embarrassing than that. Absolutely more embarrassing.
I don't imagine so, but you love Pete Townshend, so... Townshend. So, we're not talking about Fire Island. We're talking about... And the truth of the matter is that I rocked out to Judas Priest. I didn't know the song Fire Island. I just... Whatever
the song...
Yeah, I
never got an airplay.
Well, there you go. I knew the song with the razor blade, the hand...
Oh, you got Breaking the Law.
Breaking the Law.
That's just hard rock.
That's great. Why wouldn't you rock out to that?
Well, that's cool. I don't think there's anything about Breaking the Law that's overtly... homoerotic.
Why
look, I got no problem. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine. But I'm just saying, I find it ridiculous, the people who are into Judas Priest. I just find that a little ridiculous.
Why?
Because he's so overtly gay that it's just like, it's not even like Freddie Mercury, who was like flamboyant.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know why you would write a song about grinding with men to 4 a.m. in a sweaty club.
Ew, he did?
In Fire Island.
Oh.
Like, this is a turn-on? This is what you want your fans to be into? It's ridiculous.
I mean, I think...
Absolutely ridiculous.
Writing songs is autobiographical, so...
Unless your fans are a gay band for gay fans, then it's true. Then it's out in the open, and it makes some sort of sense. It would almost be like the Village People... singing, Slayer lyrics.
That would be great.
It makes zero sense.
All right. So, clearly you'd rather talk about Judas Priest than Jethro Tull.
Well, no. I just said I love Jethro Tull.
I know.
I'm the kind of guy who has relationships with artists.
What?
In my youth, I spent a significant amount of time with one artist, and then I move on to the next one, and I get intimate with each one. So I've had my flings with different artists. It's
okay,
like fucking love affairs.
Really weird.
You got Lowell George with Little Feet. You got Joe Walsh. You got Pete Townshend. You got Frank Zappa. You got your Jimi Hendrix. I don't just casually listen. I dig in, and I get into it like it's a fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? So I got into Jethro Tull. That's one of the artists I got into. I know a lot about Jethro Tull.
You have a weird thing where you put on some sort of vocal affect.
That's what I do.
Yeah. This is not... You don't speak this way.
How do you know what I speak like?
Because I've been with you for 21 years.
And there's a percentage of the time I talk like this.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go like this. Sometimes I do that.
You never do that.
Oh. Well, I've done that before.
Maybe when you're alone and being intimate... with one of these artists.
I don't get intimate with artists anymore.
Oh.
That's over.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, I'll tell you why.
Oh.
And the most reason, now I'm into fucking Gene Hoagland, all right?
Okay, we're not talking about what's on your turntable.
Gene Hoagland will fucking kick your ass.
I have no problems with Gene Hoagland. We're not going to fight.
Don't want to fight Gene Hoagland.
I'm not going to.
The man's got the fastest feet in the world.
Excellent. Anyway. On to our next inappropriate song. My Sharona by The Knack, 1979. Are you familiar that this isn't an inappropriate song?
Why Sharona?
I will tell you why. So in the first verse, it says, "Such a dirty mind, always get it up for the touch of the younger kind."
Oh, the younger kind.
Yes. So then I said, well, let me look. Let me look, because I know Sharona actually did exist. And sure enough, the guy who wrote the song was 25 when he dated a 17-year-old Sharona.
Well, did they date when she was 18?
They dated for 4 years.
So the first year was off, or was it start when she was 15 and go to 19?
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that there might be some fudging in the facts.
You know, 1725, back in those days, that's what happened. I don't think, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure she wasn't innocent. I think that's a perfect example of a groupie situation.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, 17, 25. 25 guy, 17 girl. Guys are pretty immature at 25.
When Figer was 25 years old, he met 17-year-old Sharona Alperin, who inspired a 2-month-long run of songwriting.
I bet it did.
As well as becoming Figer's girlfriend for the next 4 years. He recounted that it was like getting hit in the head with a baseball bat. I fell in love with her instantly, and when that happened, it sparked something, and I started writing a lot of songs feverishly in a short amount of time.
Well, that's what you call a muse.
There you go. Of course, the other song inspired by her, Good Girls Don't, But I Do. So, there you go. My yeah. Sharona. Little dirty. Little questionable.
I give that one a working pass, but the band is so bad that I'll have to tell... I have to say that I think the guy's a weirdo, because if you look at him, he looks like a weirdo.
I think a lot of people in that era looked a little odd.
He's not a good-looking guy.
Of all the ones that we've seen so far, Danny Elfman, weirdest.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Barry,
actually, Benny Madronis is actually weirder.
Look weird. He looks like
The problem with that is it's an absolute ballad love song.
Ugh, there's no irony in the music. Is weird. Making out was bad.
There's no irony in the music. It is nothing. At least Danny Elfman is like some kind of like horror movie new wave vibe.
Yeah, no, he looked like a fucking fiend.
That's not, you know. Yeah. I think Benny Madronis is the weirdest of them all.
All right, I can give you that. He's definitely odd. Now, our next selection, did you have anything else to say about My Sharona? You just give them a pass.
I don't give them a pass. I think the band sucked. I think they're a formula wreck.
You said you gave them a working pass.
I think his relationship, I gave him a working pass. They met her when she was 17. He was only 25, and they stayed together for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So,
well, how do you know she wasn't kidnapped for 4 years?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how do we know she didn't, you know, cheat on him with everyone else that way was in the around? I don't know what she
sure
did.
Sure, she was a sweet girl.
His Sharona. Maybe she was everyone's Sharona. What kind of name is that? Was she Irish?
I don't know. I don't know what her deal was.
Anyway, the band sucks. I remember they played Madison Square Garden, and they played for 45 minutes, and everyone was fucking outraged that they played such a short concert.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't get the people the money's worth. They can go fuck themselves. That is a
pretty short
total
show.
Formula bullshit music.
Well, there you go. But it was a big hit. Hit.
It's an imitation of real music. It's like the imitation. Look, The Knack and that song. That is such an imitation of the Kinks. It's ridiculous. Honestly, it's ridiculous. It's an imitation of All Day and All the Night, or, you know, You Really Got Me, or that other one. Till the End of the Day. Whatever. I mean, it's the imitation of the Kinks. I wouldn't be surprised if that band wasn't put together by a fucking record producer.
Always get it up for the touch of the younger kind.
Do ya?
Apparently he did. All right, moving along to... now this next band actually has 2 entries.
I could think of about 5.
Are you shitting me?
No.
Then that's a problem. Do you not see that that's a problem? If you write 5 songs about younger girls like that, like pedophile age girls.
There are no songs written about underage girls. They're just younger girls. That's all. They're not about little girls. They're younger girls. It's a constant theme with this artist.
You don't find that to be a little...
I find it to be his travel through life. I have no anecdotal stories of him ever doing anything to anyone. No one's ever said anything about him doing anything to any women, any girls, rather.
Well, we don't know yet.
Never.
Not yet.
Yeah, I don't see it.
All right. This, I'm just going to play this. Our next entry is...
Jerry Garcia?
No. And you know darn well it's not Jerry Garcia.
Robert Hunter?
Look, he can make it sound like the Grateful Dead, but this is Steely Dan and Cousin Dupree.
When I first heard this, I was like, oh, Donald Fagen actually likes Jerry Garcia. Sure enough, within a couple of years, he's doing a cover version of Shakedown Street.
Oh, was he? Okay, I didn't realize that.
Shaboom!
Now, this Cousin Dupree song is, you're going to give him a pass because you're saying it's a character.
Yeah, yeah, this is like a novel. This is an audiobook.
And you say that you know five songs where
Donald
he does
Fagen
this.
Donald Fagen is heavily influenced by William Burroughs and the Beat Society, Beat Generation. Those people wrote about controversial issues, just like Lolita, the book. But, yes. As I said, these are not songs about children. They're just songs about, well, this one's incest, but that's not a child. It's just a grown-up woman. He even says, we've been friends since we were kids. And now I want to have sex with you.
I feel like he says that she's younger.
No, he doesn't say that. He just says, how about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? Honey, how you've grown like a rose. Well, we used to play when we were three. How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree?
Gross. So I played this one for Dave yesterday, and of course he defended it, much like he's doing it now.
Look, and let me just, on the top of my head.
All right.
Hey, 19.
But she's 19. I gotta give it to him.
He's like in his 30s or maybe 40. All right. Gaslighting Abby, which I think is on this album or one of his later albums, which is also about like an 18 or 19-year-old chick that he's hanging out with. And then on his most recent album, he's got a song called Slinky Thing, which is just about some young chick he met in the park when he was walking, and how everywhere he goes with her, people say that he better be careful because he's going to lose her. So he's always writing about younger women.
I feel like, hey, 19, she's old enough to vote.
It's true. It's not, hey, 16. Hey, 16 would be a whole other song. See, that's Benny Mardones is a cocaine retard, and Donald Fagen doesn't do cocaine like a retard. He wasn't lost in the rock and roll world of high heels and fucking, you know, whatever.
Right.
Okay. No one ever took a plaster caster of Donald Fagen's penis.
Well, okay.
You don't do that unless you're on drugs. No rational person says, I'm going to do this.
Okay. All right.
So, once again, Steely Dan. Kidding.
Ah. So, when I brought the Cousin Dupree up, you brought up one that was even more shockingly awful.
Yeah, yeah. And this one has great example of what I'm talking about, where it's really happy background lyrics. I mean, really, really happy background vocals.
Whoa, Jeff Piccolo. Mr. LaPage is your man.
So your thought of that this is yet another character and it should be given a pass.
Yeah.
But
he's not saying, come on over to my house. I'm Donald Fagen. I have movies for you to watch. This is about a pedophile. This is a song about a pedophile. You ask Donald Fagen. He'll tell you it's a song about a pedophile.
Everyone's so, gone to the movies.
Yes.
Sorry, we only have Steely Dan.
I know you're used to 16. Sorry, we're only of 8. Now, some people think that he's talking about age, but he says he was talking about...
millimeter?
8-track. 16 and 8-track.
What?
They were recording. You know, it's very inside. See, not everything Donald Fagen writes makes sense. Just like Bob Dylan. People think Bob Dylan's the heaviest cat in the world. Well, some of the shit just rhymed. Some of it just rhymed, all right?
Well, I mean...
Don't make Bob Dylan into a fucking Mahatma Gandhi.
I have never said that.
Okay. Well, some generations wanted to. He's fucking... You got to serve somebody.
All right. So the lyrics go, come on, come on. Soon you will be 18. I think you know what I mean. Don't tell your mama, your daddy. And once again, or mama. For some reason, he really doesn't want her to tell her mama. They'll never know where you've been.
Yes.
Everyone's gone to the movies. Now we're alone at last.
That's the part where the major chords and the really... happy lyrics.
Everyone's gone to the movies. Now we're alone at last.
Everyone's gone to the movies. Now we're alone at last. Everyone's gone to the movies. Now we're alone at last.
You know, I'll bust out a hash pipe and smoke a bowl when you're at the movies. Yeah, I'm not going to molest some kids. I was listening to this fucking song and smoking. And I was sneaking tokes out the window.
Okay.
Honestly, I never even realized what the lyrics were about until I read the Donald Fagen book. A book about Donald Fagen. Then I was like, oh, that's what that is.
About
okay.
Donald Fagen or by Donald Fagen?
About.
Did it say he has a unusual love for writing songs about pedophiles?
No, but it's, you know, clear what his influences are.
Pedophiles?
Huh?
How do you write so
many songs?
William
Burroughs, Jack Kerouac, you know.
So you don't think he's had personal experience?
I don't actually know.
You think no one in his
absolutely
inner circle?
Do not.
Okay. He just happens to have 5 songs or so about...
He might have more than that.
All right. Then there's a problem.
I don't think it's a problem. I think he's almost a 70-year-old man who's lived a 99% law-free life.
Mm-hmm.
I think law-abiding life.
I think there may be a problem with Donald Fagen that you don't want to discuss.
All right.
The next one and the last one on our list, you brought up, and I listened to it, and it's a live performance. And I've never seen a band behind a lead singer look so uncomfortable and happy when a song is over before. And this one is The Kinks, Art Lover.
Song from Give the People What They Want. It's a song about a man who goes jogging in the park. And this is called Art Lover. You know what I mean? Sunday afternoon, there's something special. It's just like another world. Jogging in the park is my excuse to look at all the pretty girls.
So this is another example where the song is so fucking happy sounding. The crowd is just clapping along. It's like the happiest little ditty ever.
This is a tongue-in-cheek song. This is another example of a character. Honestly, though, I think it's completely ridiculous. Because it's not a good song. I don't know why he felt the need to write it. I gotta assume it's some sort of character.
Why? Maybe he was at a park and he saw somebody being... I don't know. I don't see, I guess with my issue is, if I was a songwriter, which I am not, I would, I don't know that I'd ever want to write a song or two or five about pedophiles or incest people. I don't understand it. If you have this much talent, if you have as much talent as Ray Davies, why? Especially this, the tune in the background music is so good. It's so sweet and uplifting and fun. Why not just write a really fucking great song?
I'm not sure. I don't know what to say about that.
I don't know what would drive somebody to write
a song. I like the idea. I like the idea of Art Lover, but I don't think see why you can't write the song about an adult. I don't see why it has to be pretty little girls.
That's the problem.
It can be a woman. I see that as a, you know, people sculpt and paint naked women. That's supposed to be an art form.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, you're not supposed to paint Brooke Shields in, on the set of Pretty Babe, Pretty Baby.
Yeah. No.
So, yes, somewhat perplexing. I'm surprised that Dave didn't hit his brother over the head with a guitar on this one.
I mean, in this video, if you look, if you want to check it out, it's the Kinks Art Lover Live 1982. You see that Ray Davies is just having a grand old time playing the song. And then if you look at every other band member, their face is just, no one is smiling. It's just, let's get through this. And that was the thing that I noticed most about it. And then the other thing was how the crowd was holding up lighters, because they really loved the song. I was like, what the hell? Because they'll show a behind the band shot of the crowd and there's just all these lighters up.
That reminds me
of some sort of anthem.
That reminds me of the Borat song, Throw the Jew in the Well.
Where did he sing that at?
I don't know. It's like a folk song, and he's like singing with an acoustic guitar. He's like, everybody now, throw the Jew in the well. You know, because he wants all the money. He is only in it for the money. You know, it's like, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, Borat.
Say what you
great.
Want about Sacha Baron Cohen, he has done some very funny stuff.
He has, and now he's not so much.
I don't know how you get an adult man to scream the N-word that much if that person is actually a politician. I don't know what. How can you trick someone to do that?
I think it's the power of persuasion. I think persuasion is a real science. And
he should run for office of something.
Well, yeah, nothing here. Maybe in California.
No, so England. Let's keep him in England.
Let's keep him in England. All right, we can keep him.
I can't defend this song, but I definitely can defend Ray Davies. And he seems to have led a clean life.
Yeah, I mean, so far, this open secret documentary and the stuff that's come out about Corey Haim and now Dan Harmon and James Gunn. I mean, you know, the left is trying to make it seem like, oh, these guys were doing harmless things. But Dan Harmon, there's video of him literally putting his dick on a baby doll and pretending it's an infant.
Well, that's Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
Harming.
Yeah. That's and then James Gunn, there are thousands of pedophilia-type tweets, and he's posted photos of him at, like, To Catch a Predator parties.
I don't understand.
I don't know why
that's... How do you even have time to tweet 1,000 times?
10,000.
Who tweets this much? Other than Anthony Cumia. Who does this?
That's the thing. And when they're... This is the thing. So if you want to say, okay, Ray Davies wrote a song and it's a character, or Jethro Tull did a song, Aqualung, and that's a character, that's one thing. When there's 5 or 6 songs, I got a little start to raise my eyebrow. But when you are filming yourself with your dick all over a baby doll, pretending it's an infant, or...
If I'd have known it was going to be this kind of a party.
Or if you're going to Catch a Predator parties, like that's the theme of a party you're going to, I think that's way beyond any of this.
I would agree 100%.
I don't care how much money you make for Adult Swim or Disney. Your shit is fucked up. Your shit is crazy.
Fucking stop talking like a retard and acting like a fag.
So, the Kinks' Art Lover is the last one of the songs. Now, when I was looking at songs, like I said, there was other bands who I've never heard of before or who are just in the, you know, on the outskirts of music who just do this shit to raise eyebrows and to be controversial. So, I didn't include those.
Ray Davies also has a song called Sleepwalker.
Ray Davies has a song called Sleepwalker. What is that about? Is he a sleepwalking rapist?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, late at night, he sneaks into your window and rapes you while you're sleeping.
And what age are the victims?
Oh, I don't know. He doesn't talk about it? I never dug it that much. I just thought, hey, this song's got a really good riff and cool rock and drums. I never really contemplated the lyrics. But now that I think about it, it's certainly not a pop song.
Yeah, I mean, when I was little, when I was listening to that KTEL 77 and Christine 16 was on it, I wasn't contemplating the lyrics either. I mean, I guess there's just something about a song where you're just bopping along and you don't even realize that the lyrics might be horrifying.
Isn't there some rock song? She's Only 17 or something?
That's Winger.
Yeah, what was he? He was like 38 or something? 40?
He was not.
Hip?
Kip Winger was, I think he was probably
30.
You think he was that old?
I feel like Kip Winger is like, you know, the substitute teacher who, like, you shouldn't leave your kid alone in the room with.
Yeah. I mean, he is dazzlingly handsome. He must not have been able to act at all, because a guy that good looking, I can't imagine not everybody wanting to put him in a movie. You know what I mean? Must have zero acting skills.
Kip
and
Winger.
Then, of course, Stray Cats, another one of my favorite. She's sexy and 17, but I always got the impression that he was also 17.
Mm.
That's why I didn't put that one in it.
Like I saw her standing there?
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, the Ringo Starr one, I mean, he didn't write that. He was singing a cover, so I couldn't really, you know, and like you said, that song was written by two gentlemen, I'm talking about 16, You're Beautiful in Your Mind.
Songwriting duo writing pop music.
They were literally, yes, they were writing pops. Well, they were writing pop music to appeal to that age. Right. So I couldn't really add the Ringo Starr one because it's not like he wrote it and was, you know, had someone in mind.
I bet there's some R. Kelly we should have added.
I'm not, you know what? That guy is, I'm not, no, he's disgusting.
You know what, dude?
You know what, dude? You got your R. Kelly. You got your women in your fucking house being your sex slaves. You got your 16-year-olds that you're peeing on. No, I'm not having any R. Kelly discussions. That guy's disgusting. I don't understand why he is. People spend their money on him.
Out of the closet. No, that's, you know, that's some real good shit.
And that stupid rock thing he did, that rock opera show, it was literally one of the worst things I've ever spent time watching.
It's so bad it can't be real.
It's not even like so bad it's good. It's just so bad you literally cringe throughout it. I couldn't watch all of it. It was awful. All right, so we've talked about these songs, but we also wanted to talk about something else. Mark Levitt, our friend of this show, of all of our shows for many years, makes short comedy films, and he sent us his latest is Thumb Wrestler 2, but Thumb Wrestler 1 he sent us, which has been nominated and won a short comedy awards in different places, and we watched Thumb Wrestler yesterday, and of course the thing that stuck with us the most was the comments about the tunnels. the tunnels is no joke, and of course we're talking about carpal tunnel.
I like the music.
The music was
I like the music in the thumb wrestling scene, I think it was. It was kind of like a Led Zeppelin kind of groove.
I thought it was like a Rocky-esque groove.
No, that was different. That's at the end.
I see.
That was a Rocky-esque groove. But there was also like some sort of a hard kind of rock, blues rock kind of
thing. I liked the original music. I thought it was really good. I liked the... He always has these interesting actors as part of his project.
That I like the lead.
You kind of start really contemplating about them. The lead guy.
Yeah, I like him.
Newt the Digit Feldenstein.
He has a Paul Giamatti kind of vibe.
He definitely had a Paul Giamatti vibe. A vibe and his look were very Paul Giamatti. And then there was the guy that was like his trainer.
The older cat.
I guess he was supposed to be like Burgess Meredith or something.
Yeah.
But he was kind of like
he had a very sweaty sweatshirt for not doing anything sweaty, ever.
Yeah, and it also looked like there was like mustard stains or something on it, but maybe it was sneezing.
It
could have been boogers.
That was sort of like a subplot that was going on there. I wasn't sure if that was just like by accident, maybe he had a lot of nose hair, but clearly that was a subplot of a nose issue.
There was some sort of snot issue going on. And when we first saw it, we thought it was a mistake. And I was like, well, why wouldn't they stop filming so he could blow his fucking nose? But then just a few scant minutes later, it was a full out plot point. So it was in general, the thumb wrestler is about this man who was a thumb wrestling champion, world renowned thumb wrestler. And he gets a thumb wrestling injury, and he can no longer wrestle. He's offered some sort of drug, but he doesn't want to do it.
It appeared that he was the guy crushed his thumb, but then he said he had the tunnels.
It's the tunnels, and he showed the X-ray.
The tunnels was probably already there, and then he also had an injury to the thumb.
Right, because there was a Band-Aid.
I think he had the tunnels. The underlying condition was the tunnels.
You think the Band-Aid was just like a prop? So it seemed like it was something that could be cured? Like he was just trying to throw it, like, oh, it's just a cut on his thumb? And he knew that his problems were deeper than just a superficial cut.
They were underlying, like the tendons and the tunnels.
The tunnels. He had the tunnels. So he's lived his life as this thumb wrestler, and now he's got to look
as so many of us have.
He has to pursue other avenues of not just work, but also something that would interest him. And when you've been a thumb wrestler as long as Newt the Digit Feldenstein has been, it's not easy to stop living that life, that thumb wrestler life.
I like it. I like that movie a lot more than that Thanos crap.
There you go. Dave liked Thumb Wrestler more than the Avengers Infinity War. So that's Mark Levitt. I can't even tell you that you've got Blockbuster here. You've got a Blockbuster here. So congratulations on that. I thought
it's a return to the tradition of acting,
It's a nice character piece.
Yeah, it's actual. It's a film.
It's a film.
It's not just a movie.
Right.
It's a short film.
Well, and it's an award-winning short film. So congratulations to Mark and Thumb Wrestler. I feel like the tunnels is going to be a permanent part of our dialogue here for maybe not permanent, but we'll definitely be referencing it a lot.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. So if you want to follow Mark Levitt on Twitter, you should definitely do that. He is at Wiggy Bloogie, WiggyBloogy, at Wiggy Bloogie on Twitter. We are also on Twitter at Middle Aged Cool. It's actually just me mostly. Actually, it's just me all the time. Dave occasionally will look at Twitter, but we're pretty sure he would be banned on Twitter the first time he tweeted. So he just...
I wanted to have the Twitter sort of like Wigger Woogie. I mean, no, never mind.
Anywho, so at Middle Age Cool for the Twitter, our website is middleagedcoolkids.com. Also, we have been posting our shows on BitChute, as well as YouTube, and BitChute is doing very well for us. It's actually great. It's a great free speech type of platform. No one's being censored because the people who run the company don't agree with what you have to say. I think that that's shameful that that's happening now. And it's collusion to affect an election, I would say. If you're
corrosion,
if you don't want conservative voices heard, then you are affecting an election. And I believe that might be illegal. So we'll see how that works out. But Alex Jones, Gavin McInnes, being shut out. Being shut out. Their voices being censored. So if you are interested in free speech, search those guys out in other places. Anything else you wanted to plug?
Just to say, good rock on your recent erection.
Also, if you are in the market for a good book, I heartily suggest Plagued, Book One, The Girl Who Chased the Shadows by our dear friend Garrison Scott. It's on Barnes & Noble's and Amazon.com, and you can find out more about it at GarrisonWrites.com.
Excellent.
All right, everybody. We will see you next time, America.
Each time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say thank heaven. Four little girls get bigger every day. Thank heaven, four little girls, they grow up in the most delightful way.